There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. And let me start. So much to do in today's show. So much to do. But let me start with this.
It was next to a scene out of It, but the Gulf Coast version.
Man, he came out the drain over there. I passed by. He was hanging out the drain.
Anthony Patterson and his girlfriend, Kenesha Miller, were on their way home when they had to slam on their brakes and do a double take.
And we saw a gator coming out of the drainage hole, and I was like, is that really a gator?
And it surely was, Patterson, going live on his Facebook.
It surely was. So Gabby's doing the story, Gabby Easterwood from 5. It surely was, in case you doubted it, no, do not doubt it, it surely was an alligator. Okay, let's go back to it.
He was hanging out the drain right here, I almost ran over. So when I busted you and came back, he ran on the grass over here.
They said they were trying to hurry to get police and game and wildlife there because the gator was...
It's fish and wildlife.
...slowly inching towards the apartment complex.
I'm back, y'all. You on the move.
And not even 50 feet down the road, a school bus was dropping off kids.
Which would surely be eaten by this alligator coming out of the storm drain. As the gator probably would have posted up there where the doors open and just...
And others were oblivious to the reptile.
The bus had stopped right down the street. So, I mean, the gator was right here on the grass. There was a guy at the bus station, bus stop right here. And we was like, do you see the gator right there? And he was like, oh,
right. I mean, there was actually a guy at the bus stop. And
he didn't even see it.
Yeah, he didn't even see the gator. So that was very dangerous to see that.
Okay, so a little bit of this alligator story. Let me say this. So, as much time as I spend lampooning alligator stories and shark stories that show up in news, because I'll say, like, you know, the alligator's on the causeway. I'm like, that's they're supposed to be. Or the sharks in the Gulf. That's where they're supposed to be. This is a story that is news. So compliments here to WKRG, Gabby Easterwood, that this, when the alligator comes out of the drain and it's cruising around the apartments here in town, that's a news story. That's a news story. So out of all the alligators, I'm marking this one down on this day as a legitimate alligator story when alligator comes out. Now, I don't know if this alligator was going to get the kids coming off the school bus, but, you know, it's where it shouldn't be. So that's a legitimate. So I just want to start off with a legitimate gator story. Also, while I'm doing that, and by the way, we're going to get to this Ray Epps thing this hour. This is coming up, talk about January 6th, a lot to do with that. Plus, we'll talk about Governor Ivey's executive action coming up next hour, and Congressman Jerry Carl joins us in hour number 2 of the show, so that's all in the way, and we got a lot to get to. But I just, some things I wanted to clear up as we get the show started. So, number one, alligator story. Number two, I saw this story on AL.com, and I said, this could be me. Not because I think I would get lost, because I pretty good finding my way around, and I carry equipment when I'll go out to Colorado every couple years, go up in the mountains there, and go hunting in the backcountry of Colorado. But I carry stuff to make sure I know where I am. But it's the other part of this story that got me. So it's actually linked through from cleveland.com over at AL.com. So a hiker spent about, tell me when you hear this, if this might not be you. A hiker spent about 24 hours on mountain trails after getting lost, a time that was likely extended because the hikers ignored the rescuers' calls when the hiker did not recognize the phone number. So Incident occurred last week in Mount Elbert, according to a news release from Lake County, Colorado. Search and rescue. Hiker went off on the trail at 9 a.m., had not returned by 8 p.m. The hiker reportedly lost track of the trail when it became dark, spent the night trying to find it. Okay. Rescue workers started calling about 10 p.m., trying to find the hiker. The news release said the rescuers called the hiker's phone several times, but the hiker later said he ignored the calls because he didn't recognize the phone number. The hiker had no idea that the rescuers were searching. Search called off about 9:30 a.m. following day when they learned the hiker had returned to the vehicle. Okay. So this story here, if I would get lost, would be me. Because my phone rings all day. It's ringing right now as I'm doing the show, all during the midday show. It ring and ring and ring. If I don't know your phone number, I'm not going to answer. Text me or leave me a message. If I don't know your phone number, so this is such a big deal for this hiker. Because you'd think if you're lost, you got time to take a call, maybe about your car's warranty, Dalton. You know, I mean, if there was ever a time to kind of talk with them,
it would be then.
When you're lost on a mountainside. But this hiker is like me and is so frazzled by the constant ringing of the telephone that even in a situation where they were lost in the Colorado wilderness, they didn't take the call because they didn't know the number.
How dire would it have to get for you before you answered an unknown number?
It would have to be bad. I'd have to be trapped somewhere that I couldn't get out of. And I'd have to be there probably 2 days before I'd start taking the unknown calls. And I was like, hey, what's, you know.
Dying of hypothermia.
Yeah, but I mean, because, you know, if I don't know your number, I'm not going to pick up.
No.
I'm not going to pick up. So, side note, if y'all are calling me from a new number, send me a text, leave me a message.
Can't a guy get lost anymore?
No.
Without people worrying about him?
No.
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 You can't just go out on your own anymore. Mm-mm.
No, you don't have the stories of somebody who was lost for 2 or 3 days because by then the whole news crew is at the bottom of the mountain. But it's just the fact that they were calling, good for the rescuers, said, you know, hey, I got an idea. Let's call the guy's phone and say, hey, can you ping me where you are? We'll come get you. Dude's not answering because he doesn't know the number.
I saw a life hack yesterday or the day prior, and it was before I saw this story, but someone said, listen, if you get lost, you're in a national park or something like that, while you have cell service, change your voicemail. And say where you are, and
that's pretty good.
Because
that's
even
really good.
When your phone dies, then your voicemail will still be active. Hopefully,
that's money.
Unless you're one of those people that let your voicemail fill up, which I don't understand.
By the way, side note: if you're a grown up and you let your voicemail fill up, I got problems with you. That person can't take any more calls. I mean, how many messages do you have? And I'm a clutter, you know, cluttered digital clutter person, but you clear out your voicemail.
Yeah, what's that number? 300? I don't know how many it takes to fill it up, but I just thought that was a good idea.
That is really a good idea.
I don't plan on getting lost anytime soon.
I need to put that, because I'm going to do a book on this stuff one day, so let me put that down. So, yeah, so go on, re-record your voicemail. This is where I am. This is what's going on.
Yeah. I messed up, and I'm off of this road. And it's about this time.
The last place I saw was this road, or I could see this peak to my north or something like that. I'm near a river, or I'm near, you know, whatever.
Yeah, just tuck that away in your life hack playbook. That's might really, need to use that someday.
That's really good. That's really, really good. So, I don't know. Just a couple things I wanted to get through as we got started here. So, Dalton's going to hang out with me some this hour because there's a story that's been out there. You and I talked about it at length yesterday.
Okay.
And but there's so much to this. I think it's something worth both of us talking about. And that is this discussion of Ray Epps. Who is Ray Epps? Let me do this. So this comes off of a website, Revolver News.
Yeah, Revolver.news.
Okay, Revolver.news. It's a right-wing website. Okay, before I have the chime in, oh, you're getting something. Of course it is, right? Because the websites are much like the TV stations. They serve one side or the other.
Right.
Okay. But because mainstream news doesn't cover stories like this, then it ends up being on a page that has a bent to it. That doesn't mean you can't go through and analyze facts. But this is when people go, well, why are you taking a story from there? Because mainstream news doesn't do its job and report these stories.
Right.
That's why these stories come through on places like Revolver. Okay, so, and this comes from, and let me kind of take it to something that happened in the news. You knew that they had the Merrick Garland hearings last week.
Right.
Right. And so Representative out of Kentucky, Thomas Massey, if y'all remember, this discussion came up, played like a Supercuts, not the haircut place, which, by the way, Supercuts, I'm coming to see y'all soon, played a cut of video of this guy, Ray Epps.
Mm-hmm.
This is on January 5th, and then again January 6th.
Yeah, and I recall seeing this guy. I didn't know him or know that he would be a player in all of this at the time, but you and I both and so many others watched so many videos from that day.
Yep.
And if you remember when they first started pushing past the police and the barricades outside of the Capitol, this was a guy who leaned over into someone's ear and whispered, and that
something
was just before it began the first quote-unquote, and it was violence, the first violence that happened that day when they pushed the barricades into the police, and there was a female officer who I think hit her head there against the stairs, but this was that guy.
Okay, so Thomas Massey plays this video for Merrick Garland. Thomas Massey on Twitter said he refused to comment on how many agents or assets of the federal government were present in the crowd on January 5th and 6th and how many entered the Capitol. I'm going to play, let's play the audio of this as we get started here.
In fact, tomorrow, I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to go, I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in to the Capitol.
Let's go!
So I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail tomorrow. We need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
So the crowd there, when he says we need to go into the Capitol, says no.
Mm-hmm.
No. And then they quickly figure out that, well, in their opinion. So if you can't tell, the crowd is chanting Fed, 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 Fed.
Fed, 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 Fed,
Fed. Hey. Now this next piece is from the day of. This is January 6th. The first two were on the 5th. This is from the 6th. Same guy.
As soon as the president starts speaking, we go to the Capitol. The Capitol is this direction.
And this is the scene Dalton's talking about right here at the gate. Ray Epps whispers in somebody's ear here, and then the push happens, and they push through the barricade. It's just like it's like you have at Mardi Gras, the little fencing you have at Mardi Gras, but they push through it, and it is this is a violent act. That's the start. Where at that point, I then call that a riot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this guy Ray Epps is in all these scenes.
Right, he's like the focal point of that supercut.
Right. And the idea, you heard it earlier, that they said the crowd was chanting that he was a Fed.
Mm-hmm.
But he ends up getting caught up in the dragnet and then disappears, right? And
yes.
We come back from the news. I want to talk about that. What exactly went down? I know that one of the people from Revolver was on Tucker Carlson last night.
Yeah, Darren Beatty is the guy's name.
Okay, we'll get more of that audio and kind of try to set this up and try to work our way through this and wonder if Ray Epps a one-off? Was he part of something bigger? Was he just an individual, not even acting at the behest of anybody else? We'll get to it when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So there I'd be lost in the backcountry and be like, nobody's going to rescue me, but I'm driven crazy with all these phone numbers that I don't know. That would have been to me. Hey, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, online, fmtalk1065.com. Also best, the brand new FM Talk 106.5 app. It's just waiting for you, like a puppy waiting to get adopted. You got it. You got one of the iPhone things. You go to the App Store and just look for FMTALK 1065. If you're an old-fashioned Android user like me, you go to Google Play and look for FMTALK 1065 and get it. And you'll see our logo. Download, free download. You can stream the station. You can get our podcast, 55 hours a week of those live local shows that come from right here in our studios at Airport and 65. You can go through and check out show schedules. You can also check the latest traffic info, weather info on there, and that talkback feature, that microphone icon. You mash that down, y'all, leave us a message, sends it to us, and we can play it back right here on the show. All right, so we're talking about this Ray Epps story here, and and what I'm trying to do here is trying to figure out what's going on. And I have people have been texting me about the Mo Brooks thing. I mentioned some of that yesterday. We can talk more about it. I'm trying to get to truth on this. And the truth may be, I know this is going to be tough if you have preconceived ideological notions on both sides of it. But the truth may be a mix of these things. That doesn't mean, and the reason Revolver or Zero Hedge or somebody else is reporting on this is because the mainstream news doesn't do their job. That's why we're here doing this job, because they don't do their job.
Right. When you do see the mainstream news report on it, it's when they're kind of forced into it.
Yeah,
usually the reporting is critical of
the
initial reporting. Dismissive, right. And anytime anyone brings up, I've noticed the last 24 hours and long prior to that, anytime anyone brings up anything suspicious regarding this investigation or January 6th, mm-hmm. you're immediately labeled basically an apologist, insurrectionist apologist.
I didn't even open the text line since we went to the news, but I'm sure somebody will be like, you're just trying to cover for... I'm not trying to cover. I wouldn't want to be in a world where I covered for somebody who did something wrong. That's not how I roll. So yes, but that will be if you talk about this, you can't have a discussion about Ray Epps, because the discussion they're going to say is that you're excusing the rioters that went into the Capitol.
Right, right.
You know, that's a false narrative.
Okay. Yeah.
So let's do this. So Ray Epps, we played you the cut of him on the 5th and the 6th, and then you said the guy who Beatty.
Yeah, Darren Beatty is the name of the author of that piece on Revolver. And now he's been on Tucker Carlson's show in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bigger stories, I believe it was Revolver that they had, was remember the Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan?
Yes,
the kidnapping plot.
Yes.
And I don't remember exactly where that all ended up or if it's even over.
But they showed there were feds involved in that.
There were, they said, undercover agents mm-hmm. involved in that. And how much of a role they had in the planning of the planned kidnapping or whatever it may be, I'm not sure if we'll ever get to the bottom of. But that's kind of what Revolver, I think, was known for prior to this.
Okay.
So he was on Tucker Carlson last night, and he brought up Thomas Massie, the congressman who played that Supercut video that you just played for everyone else. And Massie asked Merrick Garland at that point, he said, you know, how many DOJ or FBI assets were in the crowd mm-hmm. on January 5th and January 6th? And Garland didn't answer. He said if there had been none, he would have said so.
Right. He did not say none.
So
yes.
That would lead you to believe there was at least one, right, undercover
out there. He wouldn't say none.
And honestly, one would mean the FBI is doing their job. But how much of a role did they play in the planning of the actual entering into the Capitol? So here's a bit from last night on Tucker Carlson and the author of this piece, Darren Beatty.
Here are some of the key points about Ray Epps in the Revolver.news article that you mentioned. First, and we got some of an idea from this from the clips you presented, he is calling for going into the Capitol the evening before January 6th. And this isn't just a one-off, some crazy who comes and goes. No, he goes repeatedly to group after group, redirecting them, saying we need to go into the Capitol. And sure enough, on January 6th, it's a veritable Where's Waldo? He's everywhere. He's all around the Capitol, shepherding people to go to the Capitol where, quote, our problems are. And then 20 seconds before the very first breach of the Capitol, this individual, Ray Epps, whispers into someone's ear. Then 20 seconds later, we have the very first breach. So he's everywhere. And as you pointed out, very curiously, Ray Epps is not indicted. It doesn't seem like the feds want him or have any interest in him, although they did. They had him for a while on their most wanted page until Revolver.news did a report. Now, what's the significance of this timing? Well, there are two things. For one, there is a New York Times piece that had come out that essentially ran cover for the feds, but did it in a way that was counterproductive. It amplified the name of Epps, which wasn't convenient for the feds, after Revolver had reported that the feds were likely involved in 1-6. But what it did do is said that Ray Epps was acting alone. And as you can see in this Revolver.News piece, Ray Epps seemed to be coordinating with a number of people in this initial breach. And many of those people also remain curiously unindicted. But perhaps the most damning thing, the FBI scrubbed Epps' face from their database, from their public database, just a day after Revolver ran a report on his fellow oath keeper, Stuart Rhodes, who is also unindicted. So there's just a cast of curious characters unindicted.
So there you go. That was kind of the layout there from the author of the piece.
And so you can take jumps. I think that author is taking some jumps here that maybe I'm not ready to take. I mean, you could somehow... this Epps had some coordination with the feds to get him disappeared from that list. Right. Now, I could say that maybe he did all that stuff on his own. Maybe he was not part of a federal movement. Maybe he did that on his own and then, in the meantime, afterwards, turned informant. Right? I don't know that that's true either. But what I know is we're not getting the full story here. And this does not excuse the riot that happened because he can't make Ray Epps, can't make me go do something. So the people that chose to follow him that maybe weren't compromised, they still chose to do it. But why so quiet about Epps? We'll talk about this more when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Okay, coming up next hour, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl is going to join us. AL1 with a little bit of redrawing of the lines. Not big time, but something they're talking about, of course, as redistricting special session going on in Montgomery. Plus, we'll talk about Governor Ivey's executive action, the old 734, I think it is, to keep pretty much that discussion of vaccine mandates out of the special session. We'll get to that next hour. Dalton's in with me and talking about this Ray Epps story. I'd say, as we dive back into this, just looking at responses to this story, once again, as I said in the beginning, maybe for a second you can put your preconceived ideological glasses down. And because that's where it goes, it's the frustration of where we are in the discourse these days in the country that if I'm looking for the truth about Ray Epps, then I therefore must be apologist for the rioters that went in the Capitol. Nope.
Right.
I'm not. I'm searching. There could be multifacets to this truth. Because somebody would want to come out and say, well, look, Ray Epps did this, so it was all the fault of the people that wanted Trump out, and there is no fault on people that supported Trump. That's not true. That's not true. But you can have multiple things be true at the same time. And, you know, if you look back, and we've talked about this in the past, dealing with terrorists, and the feds have, federal agents have kept us safe in doing these, their stings of sorts, where they get the wannabe terrorist, right? They want to do, I'm going to get America. And they're like, all right, here we go. Here's a bomb. And if you'll go press this on your cell phone, you'll blow this bomb up. But the feds have made it to where it's not really a bomb. It's not really going to work. But then you get them to go through the action and you got your person.
Right. If we didn't have informants working undercover, then Right. You would say that they weren't doing their job in these groups. But I think the main accusation from a lot of people, and including, it sounds like, the author of this piece, is that and really the days after January 6th, when people said, well, what did Nancy Pelosi know? How much of this did she know? To me, it seems the accusation is that certain people in the government were like a matador that day. And they knew how riled up all of these Trump supporters were. And if you were just able to push them past, you know, past their breaking point there, then you could step back and say, look at what just happened. And that doesn't mean that that's necessarily what happened. But just for reference, remember the leader of the Proud Boys. It came out just around then that I don't know if he was still an informant at that time, but he was Enrique Tarrio. This is The Guardian writing about him, that he was an informer for federal and local law enforcement. And he was the leader of the Proud Boys, I believe, through January 6th. So that's one. The other group they talk about, and that was referenced in that clip from Tucker Carlson, is this man named Stuart Rhodes, who's the leader of the Oath Keepers. And as big of a dragnet as they ran, remember, they were arresting people. They were arresting mothers and daughters who walked into the Capitol.
Uh-huh.
So if one of the main orchestrators of this, Stuart Rhodes, wasn't arrested, The big question is why?
Right. We have been asking this question, why? And he's unindicted co-conspirator.
And if he isn't an informant, then arrest him.
Correct. Yeah, and I want to also, one thing came out in the Revolver story I thought was interesting reading this morning. It says, after months of research, Revolver's investigative reporting team can now reveal that Ray Epps appears to be among the primary orchestrators of the very first breach of the Capitol Police barricades at 12:50 p.m. So that's time-stamped on January 6th. Which, by the way, that was 10 minutes still left in President Trump's speech.
He was still speaking.
He was still speaking.
And blocks away, right?
And it says here the vast majority of the Trump supporters were still 30 minutes away from the Capitol. Timeline.
Yeah.
Is interesting. Now, it once again, there are people that, whatever we end up finding out about Epps, there are people that followed him in there, and, you know, that breached the Capitol and went in.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got that supercut thing we're playing where Epps on the 5th and then again on the 6th was saying, no, we need to go to the Capitol. And you could hear some of the people lined up going, no.
Right.
No, that's not what we're doing. And Ray Epps like, yeah, that's where we need to go. So could he have done this of his own volition? Sure. Could he have then turned into an informant and that's why he was removed? That's possible.
Right, yeah.
Could he have been a plant there, a political plant, to try to, like Dalton said, great analogy, this matador, to direct this crowd, to direct something to happen that would then yield political capital that is still being spent today.
Yeah, and will be through at least 2024.
For maybe even beyond that. So, okay. Talk about this FBI list. So the FBI is puts a list up.
Right. So the Revolver, the people that were referenced in this Revolver piece, first thing they did was try to figure out who that man was who's mm-hmm. in those videos. And they said that was actually surprisingly easy to figure out. They
it's like the web figured out in 30 minutes.
Exactly. So they found him on Facebook, and he had a lot of pictures of his life, mm-hmm. an outdoorsman. He's on a boat. He's hunting a bear with a crossbow, it looks like.
Yeah.
They said he was
a 9-foot bear.
He served in the U.S. Marines, ultimately worked his way up to full Marine sergeant. And he was actually interviewed by the newspaper AZ Central. And that's kind of what this guy said may have tipped off the feds to maybe scrub him from their website. Because after January 6th, I'm not sure how much longer afterwards, but every person they could find that entered the Capitol, and especially the main troublemakers, like the guy with the bear
stupid Chewbacca guy, yes.
horns on his head, they had their images on like an FBI's most wanted list kind of thing. And then as each time they made an arrest, they slapped in big words over the picture of that person arrested.
Yeah.
Ray Epps was one of the people on the FBI's website as someone they were looking for.
Right.
Number 16, they specified here. I don't know how many of you know this, but there's a machine they actually call the Wayback Machine. And it's where you can put in a website and go back to a certain day, and whatever was cached from that website that day, you can go back and look at it.
So if I delete something from our website,
right?
But you could use Wayback Machine to see what was posted that day.
You could see what was on FMTalk1065.com yesterday as opposed to today.
Yeah, if I change something, then you would be able to see the.
So after this AZ Central article came out with Ray Epps, and then after the New York Times focused on him, he all of a sudden disappeared from the FBI website. They didn't slap the word arrested on it. They didn't put that he was still wanted. He was just gone. They completely wiped him from the website.
So people could compare what was before or after, if you hadn't been paying attention, that he was just gone.
Exactly. So that's another thing that the author of this piece is pointing to. He's like, if the FBI didn't need him or weren't working with him in some aspect, why would they completely strike him from the site once his name started to get kind of popular? So, and as far as I know, he still hasn't been arrested. And that's what it's a major piece that they wrote here.
There you go. Let's do some critical thinking. And maybe there are facts that we don't know at this point. I've lived on this planet long enough to know that you could always find out new things. But with the information right now, and that supercut of this guy, let alone the things he said beforehand, because speech, you can still have free speech. He could say, go to the Capitol. I'm going to say he's wrong, but it's free speech. He was there at the video shows him as the advance guard, if you will, of breaching the Capitol, breaching those, the Mardi Gras fence thing there to go through.
Right.
Okay. He's like on video doing it. why would he not have been put in jail?
If you're holding him to the same standards that you do the grandma from Alabama,
right,
that was arrested,
why
for
wouldn't he have been hauled out in front of everybody? We got him. Here's a video of him doing it. We got him. Why would he not be arrested?
Right. And
then ask yourself that. The video of the guy pushing through the guardrail thing there. Why would he not be arrested?
Because, right, this is something where either side you're on, whether you want to believe that it was all Antifa and it was all feds that were the ones who went into the Capitol.
That's not true.
It's not true. But if you believed that, you would want that to be found out, right? Well, if you're on the other side and you say, no, these were all Trump supporters, this was an insurrection, a violent insurrection, then wouldn't you want Ray Epps arrested? And wouldn't you want Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers arrested? So either way, there's people on both sides should be saying, why have you wiped the memory of these people who those videos aren't fake? They were there.
Right.
And they were
multiple sources. Right. Multiple sources. This is not a deep fake video that's putting a face on. These are coming from multiple crowd sources. Yeah.
So why not have that question answered? And, you know, I hate when CNN or Fox News, you know, they get these body language interpreters up there, whether it's a debate or what have you. But you look at Merrick Garland when he's asked that question by Thomas Massie, and he's clearly taken aback by the question where he says, how many agents did you have in the crowd that day on January 6th? And Garland looked away and stuttered, and he's like, you know, I'm not going to comment on something like that right now. He could have just said,
not a one.
Right. Exactly. And so you add all these things up, and that's why people are wondering, you know, who is Ray Epps? And why don't we know more about him?
If you are someone who wants to heap this entirely on former President Trump or Congressman Mo Brooks, why wouldn't you want him arrested to show this person that was, in your belief, following their directive, even though that breach happened? And I don't know how important it is, but the fact that breach happened 10 minutes before the president, even then President Trump, even stopped speaking, that's of interest to me, but maybe there's a logical explanation. But why wouldn't you want to have that person hauled in front, you know, of everybody? We got him.
Right.
This guy, there he is. We arrested him. Why would you not want that? Why would, like Dalton said, both sides should have a motivation to have the truth here. And this idea that if you search for the truth on this Ray Epps thing, then suddenly you're absolving anybody else, that's thinking like a child.
Yeah. And, you know, for this to be as monumental a day as so many say that it was, you know, I mean, you turn on MSNBC tonight and Joy Reid is probably still talking about it.
Yes.
So wouldn't you want every single bit of that day investigated? I mean, there have been documentaries on it. There's been everything. And then you pointed out Mo Brooks back in the news this week from a Rolling Stone article and questioning, you know, what his involvement in all of this was. So I wonder, will we ever get the answers to that day?
I don't know. I you think that that's not a thing we should have to beg for as the people, right? And I know there are members of Congress trying to get that information. And once again, too, it may not be as sexy as you think it is, because it's still damning, but he may not have been there as a plant to get people to storm, but he may have turned state's evidence. You know, he may have turned informant in the time between when the video came out.
Yeah, if they figured out
and they
who
came
he was
up and said, "We got you, Epps, but we need to know who else did X, Y, and Z." Okay, well then he did become an informant at that point. Now I don't know if that's true, but answer the questions. None of these questions here that we're asking are something that that should be redacted, or the American people should not be allowed to know.
Yeah,
none of these questions are putting somebody in a foreign land in danger, or one of our agents in danger. You know, that's some of the things where it's tough. With as much of a civil libertarian as I am and a free information person as I am, one of the issues I've had with some of these dumps of news is they put our men and women overseas in danger, and that bothers me. But in this situation, tell me how it puts anybody in danger other than the people that may be guilty of something here.
Right. I agree completely with you. This texter actually taking it the other way and say we're this conversation giving cover to the feds. I love your show. but my God, you're going so far out of your way today to bend over backwards and give cover to the feds. Call it what it is. It's so obvious. He was paid to incite the crowd to break the law so that groups could have another 4 years of political capital just like Russiagate. You can't be that naive to think that the news media actually wants the truth.
Okay, so I started off this discussion, unnamed texture, by saying the reasons this is being covered by the Revolvers of the world or you know, the Zero Hedge or Sean Sullivan is because the mainstream news is not doing their job. Okay. I am, call me a lot of things, naive. There are maybe parts of life I'm naive in, but very few. The reason I don't go out and just say it's 100% this is what happened and Ray Epps was paid off by the, because I don't know. I don't know. And I have a job where, and just me, even if I didn't have a microphone in front of me, I want to know that I'm telling the truth. And when you hear me pound fist and adamant about something, it's because I know I'm telling the truth as I know it. In this case, I cannot guarantee that Epps was a paid informant or something. But I'm asking the question, show me how he's not. And once again, when I say show me how he's not or show me how he is not that I'm absolving anybody of anything because of this. I'm trying to find out what effects were, what happened that day, what players were in effect that day. And so you could call it naivete. I would call it common sense to wait to make sure, because there are things that I don't know. All of us that, you know, when I always have somebody say, Sean, I guarantee you such and such. I'm like, man, that's pretty bold. So, but what I am doing on Named Texter is I'm asking the questions out of a lack of naivete, asking the questions to say, shouldn't we the people be given this information out there? And if you have nothing to hide, like Merrick Garland, then you would have said, nah, there's none.
Right.
Or you could have said, that's something that we can't comment on right now. We're going to, but Merrick Garland looked like just sitting there like the meme with the person just blinking, you know, the person just sitting there blinking. That's what it looked like to me.
So here's a good paragraph from that Revolver. Again, it's an hour long read. It said, indeed, Ray Epps was a man on a mission, and that mission appears to involve not hurting cops or getting entangles with the BLM and Antifa, because even if, you know, they didn't get into the crowd, there were BLM and Antifa around that weekend. And I think in many cases, they made themselves pretty known what they were, mm-hmm. what they were backing. He said, that mission appears to be to get as many Trump supporters as possible to storm the Capitol. While a bit outside the chronology, they have another clip here, and it says it's revealing in how it shows Epps in full crowd control mode, patrolling the police line to back Trump supporters off the officers, and then tells them we already did what we came here to do. And that was after people had gotten into the Capitol at that point. So at some point, he goes from everyone going to the Capitol, everyone
mm-hmm.
go in here and tell them, you know, give them a piece of your mind, to where there's video of him literally, you know, protecting police, which I would hope a lot of people would do in that instance if the
right.
police were getting
right.
attacked in some of the ways they were. But it's just, it's a really strange story, and it's a story that the feds don't seem to want to get to the bottom of.
Yeah, and maybe there is a nuance there that, you know, that he, you know, he only had this part of, he turned state's evidence afterwards or something like that. Well, then say it. And have coverage of this. The deafening silence from mainstream media on this is just further galvanization of why people don't trust media. There
exactly.
it is. We'll talk some more about this when we come back from the break and read some more of these texts. So Tusker says, if it looks like a duck, pop, 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 pop. You're right, quacks like a duck. Come on, man. There have been a lot of sure things and things that seem completely obvious that have turned out to not be so obvious. So, but I'm looking, Tusker. At least I hear wing beats out there from the ducks.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And if I thought I was going to calm down and ease into the next hour, see the latest here. J.D. Crow's cartoon.
I have not seen it yet.
Okay, we'll talk about that next hour. Come on. To hell with facts. To hell with facts, everybody. You know, and I do know I'm doing my job. I've been thinking about this for 12, 13 years I've been doing this for FM Talk 106.5. At the end of the week, when I get called Dalton's heard the call. So I get called a racist, and then I get called a apologist. I get called a liberal. I get called a conservative. I get called a excuse maker, and then an attacker, and you know, all those things. And you know what? I somehow still put one foot in front of the other. They could do it. I think we the people are owed a further explanation of what's going on here. A further explanation. And do not be fooled by either side that tells you if you want to ask one question. I mean, the Mo Brooks question, right? And did he meet with, you know, coordinate with people? Now, he's come out and said he didn't. And then somebody, of course, will go, but he's lying. Well, then prove to me he's lying.
Yeah.
You know, he said that like the AL.com story out and written off the Rolling Stone, which, by the way, Rolling Stone, don't y'all have like top 100 albums of the year to work on or something yeah. like that? Haven't you had a bad enough track record with your journalism?
Yeah. Tell us more about Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. Yeah. We need more of that. So you've got this story out here that should be of interest to all of us, but you're told by one side, right, that you can't be interested in that because that means you're making excuses for the riot. Go back, play the tape, y'all. I ain't made an excuse for I broke in live in Feinbaum
day of
when that went down,
yeah,
and had our members of delegation that I could get on the phone talk to me, mm-hmm, while they were going and being ushered down secret tunnels and all that kind of stuff. So whatever.
Yeah, one of the things I can't get past for the people that believe this entire, as they call it, insurrection was completely planned is, where were the guns? With the, I know that they caught somebody, they said, with guns out in a truck somewhere out in the parking lot or not that far away. But
well, they've busted some people that had guns there that day.
Did they? Were there a lot of people inside?
Not, I don't think on their person. I need to go back through.
There was spray. There were zip ties. But for all these Second Amendment loving,
which sounds like a girl
nuts,
I used to date.
You'd think they would have all brought guns in there if it was completely staged and planned. I think a lot of people were just in the heat of the moment, honestly.
True.
It doesn't make what they did right.
Once you breach the Capitol, once you did that, you're a rioter.
Yeah.
Before that, you're a protester, enjoying your First Amendment right here in our republic. The second you breach that, you're a rioter.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm trying to figure out how Epps fits into this is not saying that the person that followed him, I mean, Epps could say, you know, we're all going to go rob that bank. And, nah. And you heard in the video earlier, too, when he was saying, hey, let's go to the Capitol. And everybody went, no, we're not going inside the Capitol. But plenty of people did. So this will be tough. We got some calls. We'll get to these coming up at the beginning of the next hour. We can talk about that at 343-0106 plus some text to clear as well. And coming up next hour, to continue getting myself in trouble, I will question Governor Ivey's executive action on this. It's 7:34. I think that was executive action, which, by the way, do you reset? And I should know this, but I don't. Do you reset executive action when you come into office? Do you get a new, like, are you now at zero and then
you start with number one?
I don't know. Or are you working off all the executive orders? Because this is executive order number 724.
I think her first executive order was dinner at 4:30.
Right, that was
every afternoon.
But then Shoney's closed. Be right back.